We listen and we don't judge.
All right, so shoot. So there's this one time in the Army. This is like during like orientation, like the first week. I joined with my friend, and so there's bunk beds, and I hate the fact that I always have to sleep on the top bunk, right? So I was like, whatever. And it was like the first night or something. I had a booger, and I like picked it and I flicked it, right? But my friend is on the bottom bunk. I flicked it, and I don't know how, but it somehow landed on his leg. And then I guess he didn't know what it was, but he started to like, he's like, what the hell? Something landed on my leg. And it, he picked it up and he started rolling it. He's like, he's just confused. And did he realize what it was? And he like kicked me like from the bottom bunk to the top bunk. He's like, what the? Did you flick a booger? I was like, first of all, I was like, I had no idea how. I flicked it upwards. So I don't know how it, because the bunk, I don't know how the angle would make it curve downward to his leg. But yeah, that's.
Yeah. Damn. We listen and we don't judge. For me, I had a one time I had a friend's father ask me about that friend. They were sad that the friend wasn't self-sufficient in terms of like doing things on their own, like washing their own clothes, cleaning their own dishes. And I told him like, hey, I left my home with my parents to live on my own. And I've learned these things. Mm. I was like, if you want, you should kick your son out of the household to force him to learn these things. And I learned that week that he was being kicked out of his household. Holy shit. And I was like, oh, crap. And I learned since then that that person did not learn anything from that event. But we listen and we don't judge.
All right, one time in chemistry class, I had to fart, and I tried to let one out silently, and it wasn't silent. It went, right? It was like a little duck. It didn't, like, the whole class looked back to see who it was, and I, like, looked at the girl next to me, who was a fat chick, and then she, like, looked at me, like what the, but they believed it was a fat chick, and I did not get blamed for it. Yeah, we listen and we don't judge.
We listen and we don't judge. I actually have another one. It has to do with like when you said the bunk bed things, it reminded me. So one time I did a camp in high school where you like sold chocolates and then they have you go to, or it was in junior high. You sold chocolates and they have you go to camp. And I had a pair of underwear that I really liked, but it was like tidy whitey style, but it had a tiger print in blue. And back then, well, it was the start of like kids learning about boxers. So everyone was buying boxers. And if you wore tidy whiteys, you were like, you know, a kid. And somehow I think that my underwear ended up on the ground, but closer to someone else's bunk bed. No. And I saw it first. And instead of like trying to hide it, I was just like, whose tidy whiteys are those? And I tried to have anyone else blamed, and I didn't get them. I did not get blamed for this.
We listen and we don't judge. That's how OJ got away with it.
Whose glove is that? I was the first one to see it. It doesn't mean that I was. Whoever smelt it, dealt it. Welcome back to the Weekly DLC. I'm one of your co-hosts, Daniel, always my co-host.
What are they talking about? They ain't talking about nothing. What are they talking about?
Damn. Kendrick Lamar. No, it's also Daniel. And this week, we're recording at a later date since I was a little under the weather. But it turned out to be perfect because we're recording this after the Video Game Awards. So we're able to talk about it for this week. But first, let's talk about what's happening for the 2 weeks that we haven't been recording. For me, I've been on that World of Warcraft binge, and it's still on. I can't get enough of it. I'm on that classic one, though. Since I've been sick, I haven't been running, and I signed up for a 5K. It is this weekend on Saturday, and I have not practiced running, so I'll probably try to get a run in today to see how good I am. But I'm still, if you can hear it, I'm still a little under the weather, but I don't, it's mostly all gone. And let's see. Yeah, and then I'm going to have, like, what is it? Not next week. The following week, I have a whole week off, dude. From Christmas to New Year's. Mm. So it's going to be a good, relaxing week. I'm going to be lazy as hell, dude. But what have you been doing this week?
I had surgery yesterday.
Wow.
That shit always makes me fucking nervous.
I know. Well, like, actually, you know what? I don't get nervous.
Really nervous.
I don't get nervous. Because, like, the way I've experienced surgery, and I've had, like, a lot of surgeries too, is I go to sleep, I wake up, and it's done. And it's obviously never been any complications, but I could wake up, obviously, a complication, or I never wake up, complication.
But there's, like, horror stories where people, the anesthesiologist didn't put enough and you wake up during surgery.
I mean, I've had surgeries where they just numb the area and I'm still awake.
Yeah.
And it's surgeries that, like, you assume you're going to be sleeping. Mm-hmm. And you're like, how do you allow just the area to be done and you're doing this to me? You're, like, cutting me open. And it freaks me out, but it's, you know. It happens, I guess.
I mean, the first one that I did, they put me to sleep. This one, they didn't put me to sleep, so I was fucking nervous. But, yeah, turned out okay. It was pretty quick. Like, I was expecting, like, an hour.
Yeah.
But I think they finished it in, like, 15, 20 minutes.
It wasn't too crazy, but if there was complications, you could lose.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, that's always a huge risk
for
surgery. Yeah. And then went to my doctor today and things look good. Ooh. And another follow-up a couple weeks, but...
You can start eating pizza again?
No. Hell no. Dude, the food industry and the health industry sucks and we all know what happened.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. If you know, you know. What else? Oh, I watched Secret Level. The first 8 episodes.
Oh. Oh, yeah. That's the... what was it called? The little miniseries on...
Video games,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's and, kind of like,
I mean, we'll
Death and Robots?
Yeah, it's from the same guy. But we'll dive deeper into it. But there is a Pac-Man episode, which they showcased a game at the Game Awards.
That's the same
Shadow
thing?
Shadow Labyrinth is the Pac-Man episode. It's like a horror episode.
What?
Where, like...
I need to watch it. I haven't watched a single episode.
So it's, like, quick, because each episode is, like, 10 to 20 minutes long.
Some episodes 6, you said?
There's, like, 8.
Roughly like an hour?
It's like an hour and 20.
Okay.
But disappointed with the Sifu episode. The Dungeons and Dragons, the first one was
good. That's the one that looked good. It's like two dwarves. That's the one I'm thinking of.
There's two dwarves in it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the one I saw.
It was good. I mean, it's not like amazing. I know IGN gave it a 5. I would give the whole series like a 6.
Yeah, yeah. Like individual storylines would be better than like the overall.
For sure,
yeah,
for
yeah.
sure. Some of them are stinker. Like, dude, people are like saying the Warhammer one is good. I fucking did not like it. It's amazing to look at, like the action visually scenes, but the story was ass, man. I was like, this story is fucking ass. It looks fucking it's probably one of the most gorgeous episodes.
Oh shit.
Story's ass.
For me, it's when it's that short of a thing, I don't mind the story being, like, so bad, but, like, it still needs to hold it up, though.
My favorite episode, I don't want... should I spoil?
Just say the name? Or does the name spoil it,
the
too?
The game is New Order or New King... New Order.
Oh, that's the 60... Like, the old-style, like, hunting werewolves?
I have no idea what the game's about.
Okay.
To be honest, like, I don't think that game is about what the episode's about.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it is. It's because you can die and you get reborn.
Oh,
die
okay, and
reborn. So, I mean, the spoiler part is they brought an actor that I think he's retired. I haven't seen him in a film, like a huge actor. And when I heard the guy's voice, I was like, oh, that's him. Because they're not making, they would never, he has a unique voice. He's like, they would never impersonate him. And I looked it up, I was like, oh shit, that's fucking tight. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
I was like, that's fucking cool.
Damn.
But then they do something in that episode, I was like, that's fucking cool. That's like, because he does something in an old movie, an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. They put that in, like a homage. I was like, that's fucking cool. That's my favorite episode. It was predictable. To me, it was predictable, the story, but I was like, it was amazing. Armored Core episode. It's okay. It's with Keanu Reeves.
I thought it was I saw the Dungeons and Dragons, and I just assumed they take things not from existing games, but just like ideas, and then make them like a reality. Mm-hmm. So I thought like some of them wouldn't even be games that exist. So like Shadow Labyrinth, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know they were all taking like
Shadow Labyrinth. That was one of the better ones because they're like. The guy was like, "Yeah, you gotta eat the ghost. You gotta eat the ghost." He's like, "Why?" He's like, and "The ghosts are like hunting him." He's like, "But don't eat their eyes." I was like, "Fuck! What the fuck is this shit?" So I was like, "This is so fucking weird." And I read that Bandai Namco was. They're like, "Okay, they're like, do whatever you want to do. Create full creative freedom. Just come up with something good."
I mean, when I saw the Video Game Awards. I saw that and I was like, holy shit, that's Pac-Man. But I was like, there's no way it's going to be actually Pac-Man. But like, it's probably just like something that like, and then at the end, it was like Bandai Namco. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, there's no way.
But I'm excited. I hope they don't fuck up Mega Man. Because so they only released as half this week. Next, the final half.
Oh, shit. Okay, so I have to watch it now.
So I want to watch Mega Man's episode. Oh, damn. I'm super hyped. And then next week's episode is God of War, too. So. We'll see.
Have they? Does it say it on the thing, or you looked it online?
So I think the God of War is not a full God of War episode, but he's like a cameo.
In it. But how did you know the news that it's going to be? Okay,
Twitter. I mean, it was rumored. It was leaked. I don't know how it was leaked, and then they're like, "Oh, it's just a cameo. It's not a full God of War
episode." Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. It's like Love, Death, and Robots. It's like some are good, some are bad.
It's cool that the concept exists. Like you can use a game, make like a little short story about it. Continue on with your life. Like I think that idea can lead to better ideas, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really cool.
There's an episode. It's called Crossfire. And I thought it was like Crossfire the board game. No, it's just like there's a game called Crossfire, and that one's ass too. It's ass, dude. But I mean the graphics are good, but damn. Story's ass.
I'm gonna watch it probably today. Finish the whole thing.
But other than that, Balatro. I have a fucking deck that fucking destroys. So I'm trying to like make a deck that breaks the game because there's a point where the game breaks.
Yeah.
If your deck just calculates too much, and so I can make a deck that goes really far, but it doesn't go far enough. It's like I get cut off. So I understand Balatro a lot.
I understand
it. I understand it, dude. Because there's like a beginning part of the game, you had to conquer, and that's like the early game. Then there's a mid game, you had to have certain jokers and cards to win, and then there's an end game, and I'm stuck in the end game. I'm figuring out the rules of how the end game works, but the RNG is just not there. Like, I really need multiplier cards.
I gotta play this game because I thought it was like a standard deck, and you just ran through the game with the standard deck, but you can make your own deck.
Kinda. No, you don't make your own deck. There's special decks.
Oh, okay.
And it's not a standard deck. It's like you're playing with the deck of four different decks.
Oh. So,
wait, no. It's just a deck. It's just a single deck.
But you can have like cards. Like more than one specific, like four types of cards in there. Because there's, I'm assuming, it's
hearts, I think
spades.
Is clubs? It two decks? I don't know what the number is, but I know it's not a normal deck.
Okay.
But then there are different decks.
On top of that, you can get other decks that have...
There are decks that don't have kings and queens. Oh. And you're like, why would you have that? Well, if you want a deck that only does straights, that's what you want. Or, there are specific decks that only that are only two suits, so that's a flush deck.
Mm-hmm.
But those aren't the ones that create a lot of points, so... It's like, I think the ones that create a lot of points are like the magic decks, because you get, yeah, it's complicated, but you get abilities and, but I kind of understand the game. It's just the RNG is not good. Fuck, man. I don't understand the RNG, I guess, of getting good cards or good power abilities.
Oh.
Relics. So in Slay the Spire, like relics. Yeah. I don't have the ability to get good relics. Mm. And I need to get godlike relics to make it, to break the game. I've seen people, I've only seen one person break the game, but it just crashes the game. I was like, oh shit, that's cool.
Because like, he was hitting like the damage was so high,
yeah,
or what?
But yeah, my damage is so high, like, my damage is really high right now. Like, it can't, it's like purple flames and like, but I need to break the game. I need to break the game.
Well, so when you break the game, you beat the game.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, now that I've unlocked like a godlike deck, like, it makes it not fun for me. Oh. Like, because I'm at the point where I reached my goal.
Yeah.
And now the game is kind of like, I'm kind of losing interest in the game. Mm. I mean, I still need to beat it with the difficulty modifiers.
So you've seen like the limit that is reachable, but you haven't done that with Slay the Spire.
No, I've done it with Slay the Spire. But I beat the hardest difficulties.
But it keeps going from that point.
No. Slay the Spire, there's an end to it. Even no matter what difficulty moderator, even though at the hardest difficulty, there's an end to it.
Right. So, but then there's like the hardest difficulty, but then there's modifiers to make it technically harder, but there's no continuation in story from that.
It ends. Slay the Spire ends. Bellatra doesn't end. Oh. It just keeps on going. It just keeps on going until it crashes, I guess.
Oh.
But I've only seen it crash once. I've only seen one person crash it. I'm trying. And I'm doing it through seeded runs because it makes it easier, like Slay the Spire or like this type of game, yeah. Roguelikes. If you know what's going to come up,
yeah,
it makes it easier because you can predict on how to react to the things. So obviously, I'm at an advantage because I know what's coming up. And
but
stuff.
Wouldn't that add limits to how you can play? Like, if you use a certain deck, it's mm-hmm. not the same like outcome every time if you play the exact same way.
In Bellatro, it's the same outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But just knowing the battle makes it so much easier. Playing it without, like, if it wasn't a seeded run.
I think Slay the Spire has seeded runs, right?
Yeah. I've never done
You never did runs. It in Slay the Spire. Okay.
Never.
But, yeah, because That's a good way to practice, though, now that I think about it. Like, someone can tell you, like, how to play it, and then you can try it yourself every time with the seeded run.
Yeah,
it's a good way to learn the game.
Other than that, just watch Die Hard. I got
a couple times or just once?
Just once. I got I'm going to enter my office cubicle Christmas decorating contest. But I bought, like, a big Grinch.
Yeah.
But now I got to decorate it, but I'm going to decorate it where I saw it on Reddit. It's Bruce Willis in the vent, but I'm making a box and make it kind of 3D. So we'll see if I win. $100. if I win. Other than that, nothing. The Game Awards.
Do you have any like outliers that you can just like want to mention right now?
For the Game Awards?
Yeah.
Awards?
Or awards or games in general that you just saw?
So,
shout out to Queso.
Yeah, so I saw the Queso thing, and then I saw his reaction to it. He said, "Chat, there's no way we're going to win this." I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up, dude. Out of that list of names, you're the most famous one, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, you're like the biggest one. I was like, dude, either he's like being humble or he really didn't think he was gonna. I was like,
yeah, I don't think he thinks he's that big. Like, we obviously, a lot of people know him, but he doesn't understand that, because like, you like, a lot of people don't
he understands because I remember I saw like a TikTok. He blew up through TikTok, mm-hmm. and he doesn't stream on TikTok anymore, and I found out why. He's like, "Chat, do you know why I don't stream on TikTok? It's because when I stream, people restream it, and like, he said, not just one, like, I get a lot of restreams, and then TikTok messages me like, your account is going to be banned for using copyrighted material. He's like, I'm the real one. I'm the original, and I'm gonna get banned. So that's why he doesn't stream anymore. He knows he's big. And I was like, fuck, dude, that sucks, dude.
So it's good to use it in the beginning to get big. Because obviously if people restream.
But he got big through TikTok clips.
Yeah, yeah.
It was both, and streams.
I guess once he was already big, and people streams. Started to read.
Yeah, but it was through clips. And King Wools is the next guy that's going to fucking blow up.
Oh.
He's showing up on my For You page, and he's doing the PewDiePie. So only a few people have done this. Oh, Markiplier. PewDiePie, Markiplier, Queso, and Queso. He started off as, I remember watching him, horror games.
Yeah.
That's how he blew up.
PewDiePie was horror games.
King Wools is doing horror games, and that guy's the next to fucking blow. He's what I'm seeing with what happened to Queso, because when Queso was showing up at FYP, is happening to King Wools. King Wools is the next guy. If he keeps on being consistent with it, he's the next guy up. Like, he, not my type of streamer,
yeah.
But I'm like, dude, people are loving his content and reacting to scary games. I'm like, yeah, this is just reminds me the way it mirrors Queso, his rise. And like, I'm looking at his Twitch like tracker, it's blowing up,
dude. It's going bigger and bigger.
Yeah. So congrats to Queso.
Congrats.
Let's see, Queso. Let's see what. Anything that was crazy.
For me, there's one. It was the last game mentioned, but we'll talk about that in our actual.
I mean, what's not a surprise was indie game, because the only indie game that was on Game of the Year, obviously, if it was Game of the Year and it's the only indie game, it's gonna be
Balatro. Yeah.
But Animal World was good, but Balatro just fucking hooked. It's more addicting than Slay the Spire, but I think Slay the Spire is a better game. But yeah.
Are you hyped for Slay the Spire 2?
When I saw the, I mean,
yeah, yeah.
We'll eventually, we'll talk about it when we get to it, but I was like, it's just 1.5 to me.
Yeah.
But like, it didn't look too crazy.
That's why I always feel like with sequels.
Oh, it's not a surprise. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I thought it was going to win. Only because of that dog yeah. song.
Bow, wow, 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 wow. Do, 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 do.
Best story was not a surprise to me. I think I've listened to another like gaming podcast, and they talk about Metaphor, and everything that they've talked about, I was like, damn, dude, this game is something I want to play, like, for sure. So when I saw the list, I was like, yeah, Metaphor fucking won.
Yeah.
The fucking tweets, like, even tweets about the story, like, imagine Majora's Mask, but the moon in Majora's Mask decides to make democracy. Oh, what? I was like, okay, I'm fucking in, dude. Oh, or, wow. Like, it's, so I don't know the storyline or Metaphor, but what I think is, it's like a fascist, like, country, like, super fascist. All of a sudden, democracy's introduced, like, in one day.
Yeah.
And, like, the way if that happened in real life, how it would really, like, how people would react, that's a Metaphor, Refantasio. I'm like, holy shit. Okay, I want to fucking play.
Well, not knowing anything about the Metaphor, I mean, if you have one way of thinking and someone, like, shows you a different way of thinking and you feel like it benefits you, obviously you're going to be like, whoa, this is, like, way better. Like, why don't we go with this one?
I don't think this was a surprise. Best ongoing game, which dropped the ball. It should have won Game of the Year.
World of Warcraft.
They didn't have the controversies. Helldivers 2. Like, I was like, damn. I was like, when I saw it, I was like, fuck, they really dropped the fuck.
But I have to, I mean, they came out with, and it came out same day, DLC. Or not DLC, but like updated content.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay for it or anything. The aliens.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the game is right now, but I'm going to have to get back into it.
They dropped the ball, man. Fuck. That should have won. That should have been at least nominated for Game of the Year. Like, I mean,
but yeah, yeah.
Just the controversy, just fuck, dude.
Yeah.
That I've never seen a bigger downfall. Like, man. But I think that's it. I mean, I want to talk about the final one, but we'll talk about
that. Yeah, we'll talk about that, yeah. I didn't want to like mention it now because I feel like it'd become its own topic, and I'm okay with it being part of the other one. But yeah, like, what was it? You're talking about Helldivers. I didn't realize, like, I think I mentioned this already, but like Fortnite has it down with how they update their content constantly. Like, even it's not even like a new update. It's just like new skins, new, like, they're changing it up. The maps will change like what, once every 8 months, a year maybe. Mm-hmm. And that's keeping it fresh every time. And that's all like Helldivers need to do. Like, either add like a new enemy type, add a new enemy in general, add a new map, like rotate the maps if you need to. Like, if you have two maps here, rotate it to two other maps, and then back to those two maps, and then back to the other two maps. Like, do something that's constantly changing so people have to like log in every day to see the difference. But yeah, but that's the thing, is like, once a game becomes game as a service, that's where maybe it starts doing this. But then we're promoting something like this by having to pay every fucking month or something, you know? And that's what sucks. We don't want that. We don't want like a constant payment for a game where we think it should just come out as is. But yeah, anything else for you this week? Nothing else. So we should just get into it. All right. So yeah, the Video Game Awards. It, to me, dude, it snuck up because I've been like so busy with doing things, I completely forgot about it. I had a friend text me if I was physically at the Game Awards, because we've gone like every year.
Yeah, and not every.
Well, not we every go, year, we but go, we, think, we've gone consistently, and we didn't go this year.
I've only never gone to the first one. I've gone to every one.
And the second one, you got like front row seats, I think?
Yeah. Free tickets from Nintendo.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. And you were in front of like important people.
Yes.
In front of them. That's crazy. You were more important than they were.
To be honest, I would I was planning on streaming, reacting to.
Okay.
But what I did was I did Discord, and like, people were talking on Discord, like live reaction on Discord. It's funny because I would like predict a winner before like the actual.
Yeah.
Winner gets announced, but I would rather react to the Game Awards streaming than be there in person, to be honest.
So you liked the way it was this time for you?
No, I'm just saying I would rather do it online.
Yeah.
Than I miss doing that. Like E3, just reacting to trailers.
Yeah, yeah. And,
I mean, I think it was the best one, to be honest.
I mean, it had some pretty good bangers.
It was the best one. It's funny because Jason Schreier like said, oh, there's two announcements that are fucking blow your socks off. I'm like, there's more than two. Holy shit. The ones, I mean, I predicted two of them on my Twitter when he said that there's like two titles, but there were a couple of this I never even thought they would announce. I was like, wow, okay.
Shit. Do you want to go in order, or do you just want to just talk about those now? Because we've switched from the weekly thing to what this podcast is about, the Game Awards.
I bought lotto tickets for the two I fucking predicted.
Damn.
So.
Damn. So I scrubbed through like the first half since I was trying to catch up with it because I didn't realize it was going on. But I saw Ninja Gaiden Ragebound.
Yes, that looks cool.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks good. I have all these games that I put on here. I know I'm not going to even play half of them because, like, I mean, as they come out, maybe. But
I mean,
if they all come out at the same time, I'm not going to play.
If I'm lucky, I'll play one. How many games that came out this year did I play? One, Balatro.
But it wasn't.
I don't usually play like. Oh, I did play Elden Ring.
So I played and bought the game of the year, Astrobot, but. And then we have Slay the Spire 2.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was because
I want to make a deconstruction. They did it smart because the way they did the trailer, they showed the cards, but they didn't show what the card description does. Oh, I was oh, that's fucking smart. Well, but then some cards you could see the description, and there was a card that I saw for Ironclad. I was like, oh, that's a godlike card. Like, but I mean, I'm understanding card games, how they work and stuff, and what's. So in card games, cards where you can actually pick the card you want. Mm-hmm. Defect has a card like that. It's called
very,
Seek.
Very strong.
It's one of the strongest.
Very strong. Because like it's like with Yu-Gi-Oh, mm-hmm. like having the Exodius, mm-hmm. you need to get all five cards. But imagine being able to pick specifically cards you want to make Exodius. Like you need to just grab the card so you can just make it. Like
cards that upgrade. That
yeah,
dude. God, that's probably top tier. So that Ironclad card, it says like when you use it, it picks a random attack and it upgrades puts it into your hand and it upgrades it. Yeah. Like, that's a godlike card.
Yeah. I think in Save the Spire 1, there is a card where it upgrades everything in your hand.
Yes, Apotheosis. That's the best card in the game.
It's Apotheosis. That's a damn good card.
And cards that shuffle through your deck, like if you pick it, you can grab more cards. Those are like, that's top two. That's a top
picking card. But then there's also a balance of like how big your deck is. Because if you make it too big, you randomize too much of the possibility of what you're going to get. Yeah. You want to keep it a small deck so you can make sure that like every hand would be like a card that you can use, not just like, you know. And then we had Shadow Labyrinth, which was the Pac-Man one, which mm-hmm.
Secret level.
When I saw that, it blew my mind. I was like, what the heck? Like, how does this work? And now that you tell me there's a secret level that like, it not they took that explains story. It, but like uses that story, I think that's really cool.
The ghosts, you gotta kill, eat the ghosts, but not the eyes.
A small one was Kiora, or Kiora. I put that it was like, that's the cave-like game. And then Solasta 2, or Solasta, 2. And I never played the first one. I didn't realize there was a first one, but with, what was it? The, Baldur's Gate, the release of Baldur's Gate 3, RPGs have been on the rise. And then we have Witcher 4.
Not predicted.
That was the thing is with Witcher, I like the idea that they kind of hinted at the fact that like Ciri has, gone into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show that in the fact, like they show a little bit in Cyberpunk. I hope that they like bring this up again. Like, hey, I've seen flying car. I've seen like all these things. Like, I think that
what's funny is so people obviously internet's gamers are pissed about it because you know
they don't want a female protagonist.
Yeah, but it's funny because so The Witcher is based off a book series.
Yeah,
the book series, the main character is Ciri. So it's just like, dude, bro, the original material is based on her.
Yeah.
I it makes me want to play The Witcher. Like, I never finished it, and I had a really good build.
Yeah.
And The Witcher, I was playing on the most hardest difficulty. That game is really hard. It's in the beginning. But once you start, like, you know, it starts getting easier because you get level up. But in the beginning, so remember in the beginning, your very first monsters you fight, that's like fucking hard. It's crazy hard. But you know, it took me like a long time to beat it because you're very weak.
Yeah. Then,
yeah, I was making this build. I forgot. I think it was called it's a potion build, but it's fucking OP. It's like the most OP build.
Yeah.
I was fucking wrecking towards the end.
Damn. Yeah, for me, so I've only played Witcher 2 and 3. I haven't beaten either one. But with 3, I've done it. I've replayed it like maybe 6 or 7 times. And every time I start from the beginning, I'm able to do every single quest that it gives me. And then I'm like, oh, I can do this easily. And I always forget that it will open up the game world into like the whole world. And then you see how many quests are available to you. And you're just like, oh, I can't do every quest available to me because it would take goddamn lifetime to finish this game. And then I end up like just overwhelming myself with trying to do things. Like I always like, I pick a mission. I'm going to do that mission. And then like a quest that like sounds really cool comes up. Okay, let me change it to this quest. And then I like, you know, it takes me to like some far off place. I'm just like, God, I already forgot what I was doing in the first place. Like I keep messing that up. So then I don't restart it, but I stop playing it, eventually restart it sometime and then get back to the same situation again. So I haven't been able to beat a Witcher 3 or a Witcher game because they're so big. Like, there's so much content. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's and me crazy. as a I'm not like a full completionist, but even as a semi-completionist, man, dude, that game has too many damn missions. The next one was Elden Ring Nightreign, which is a standalone game. It's not DLC. It's going to be multiplayer. And you're not summoning these other people that are playing with you. They're part of the game. They're in the game. So what do you think?
That one was a surprise, but the description of it. So I heard that. No. So I heard it's a multiplayer where you're playing with people.
Right.
You said you don't summon people. No, you're playing with people.
Right. You're playing with them. So like, I don't mean like they're not summons. It's not considered a summon from the original game. Yeah. Sorry.
I like playing these games solo. So I don't. Okay. So I hope it's good. I'm like in the gray area because what it looks like to me, it's more like, it's not like, there's not like a story in it. It's like a loot.
Okay.
It's like a Diablo style loot. It's like a boss rush mode loot kind of thing. And that, I don't know how I feel about it. It could be fun, but I hope like, the loot that you get, you could probably transfer over to the main game or something, but I don't know. I can't. I mean, we saw the Nameless King is in there. I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, that's a hard boss fight from Dark Souls 3. But I think it's good, but man, I don't know what they're trying to aim for.
I could be incorrect, but I would assume even if it is like Diablo, you could play Diablo on your own. You don't have to play with other people, but it's made essentially either easier or the experience is maybe a little better when you're playing with other people.
Knowing Miyazaki, I think he's trying to make this, you need to play with people. Like, if you play this solo, they're not going to adjust the difficulty. The reason why I say that, because like, I don't think Miyazaki likes it when people do challenge runs. Like, oh, no level or solo.
Yeah, because he's like, I already tried to make it as challenging as possible.
That the Needle Knight Lita fight, I don't know if people have done it, but I don't know how you fucking solo that. I mean, I don't know how you do that with like, no, that was designed to like, you need people to fucking beat Needle Knight with people. He designed it specifically to say Effie to no hit people, who no hit runs. I don't know how you beat that no hit. I don't know if people have done it. I'd be very fucking impressed. No hit, solo, Needle Knight.
I know people have done it because I've seen someone beat Elden Ring no hit run. I don't know if it was all bosses though.
Because that's the hard, to me, Needle Knight and Leto is the hardest fight in that game. Like, that shit was fucking crazy. And I did it like on super underleveled.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, dude. It's the hardest, like, from soft.
But I mean, like, I feel like there's a limit, but pretty much, like, doesn't matter how hard you make a game, people are always going to find a way to make it harder for themselves as a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, because some people like something difficult. And then there is one that I have as Untitled, because it's Untitled, but it was from the makers of Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. Mm. And I am super excited for it because I love, like, where it kind of, like, the story in general is going. We had Ico, which was, like, there was no technology to that. We had Shadow of the Colossus that had a little more futuristic feel, but it was still, like, you know, the giants were stones and stuff. And then I never actually played. I bought it, but I still haven't played it. The Guardian.
The Last Guardian.
But then this one is like a mecha Shadows of Colossus. So I'm super excited for this one. I think it's going to be really cool.
It's so weird because like I'm excited about Witcher 4 and, you know, Cyberpunk when it first came out was horrible. It was bad. But they fixed it. And then I love Ico. Never played Shadow of the Colossus, but I heard good things. And then I was super hyped for Last Guardian. And when it came out, it was mediocre. And I was like, I don't. I should be hyped for it because that same logic with the Witcher series. Cyberpunk was mediocre, but I'm excited for Witcher 4. But Last Guardian has one mediocre game, and I'm not that excited for. I mean, I'm excited, but not. I don't know if it's going to be good or bad.
For That's me, the thing. They have two for three. They had Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, and then the Last Guardian. The Last Guardian wasn't that great, but the other two were amazing games. Mm. So I'm rooting for them that it's going to be a good game. They probably learned from their mistakes from Last Guardian, but we'll see. But I'm excited. But that was an untitled game. And then we have Outer Worlds 2.
Oh, I want to talk about Ico real quick. If Ico was never made, Dark Souls would have never been made. That was like the biggest inspiration for Miyazaki to pursue the game industry.
Wow.
Like, he never would have went in if it wasn't for Ico.
That's crazy. And what's funny too is the way that I was introduced to Ico was it was a demo game that I got on a disc. But I recall that the demo not having, I mean, obviously it was probably much further than the demo was, but you were able to go like way past what the technical tutorial area is, but you're like, you can only go so far before the time limit runs out. But it was like you're allowed to like play in the disc 25 minutes before it would like reset you automatically without you being able to do anything. But I was able to like take it really far. I was like, I felt like at the time I was like halfway through the game by the time like it would kick me out. And I was like, holy shit, like if I can go even further. So I would try to like speed run like 25 minutes to see how far I can go. And I never reached a limit. Like it would always let me go further and further and further. But before the 25 minutes were up.
What's funny is I almost platinum that. The only trophy I'm missing is beat the game in under three hours. But I was practicing my run. Dude, there's some skips I was doing. It was fucking sick, dude.
And I was doing it not even because of the trophy. I was doing it because the demo was like limiting me to 25 minutes.
There's this like crazy ass jump I remember. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's sick, dude. Like, it shaves off so much time, but it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like. Yeah, but it was crazy because, like, I remember the longest thing that it took was there's, like, a windmill that you're supposed to grab onto. But obviously, at the time when I was a kid, I was, like, I didn't understand how that worked. So, I finally figuring that out and was seeing that and then going further than that, I was like, holy shit, like, there's so much to this game. It's amazing. But, yeah, shout out to Ico. Really, really, really damn good game. It's just, like, the game now, like, with the way graphics is, people wouldn't like the game anymore. Just the way it plays, feels, the graphics on it.
I think it holds up.
It holds up to me, yeah. But like,
I don't think
if my sister,
I don't think Ocarina of Time holds up. Like, I think Ico plays a lot. It has a lot more replay value than Ocarina of Time.
I don't know. There's like a weird delay in Ico when you like hit a button, like. There's like a heaviness to the character.
There's a weird delay in Elden Ring, and people love it.
I don't know. I mean, in Ico, it's not like a weird delay. Like, it's meant to be there. You can feel like if you're running one way and you want to turn around, the guy will have to stop. Even though you're already hitting it, he'll have to stop, slow down, and then turn around. But that's part of, like, you know, a character being so heavy. Like, it's not instant, but games make everything instant.
Not Elden Ring. There's a delay for it.
But the Outer Worlds 2, which was interesting. I didn't think they would come out with a part 2. I don't know. I mean, the game was good, but like, I don't feel like it was
a lot of people. I would play Fallout New Vegas, but I have no interest in.
But like, when people talk about like either Fallout or the Outer Worlds... New Vegas is the one that like people talk about and like love more.
It's mixed. Yeah. To me, it's like my chat viewers, they always fought. It was always mixed.
Gotcha.
3 versus New Vegas.
But I'm glad they're making a part 2. And then this is Split Fiction is the next one. And this is the one Joseph where Ferris. Yeah. So it's interesting how he found kind of like a niche of having a two-player type game, and he's done it with A Way Out, and then what was the next one? I have never played it.
It's Game of the Year. It Takes Two.
So yeah, now maybe Split Fiction is going to be the next game of the year.
I want to play It Takes Two. I have no interest in A Way Out, but.
And then they did like a crazy deal where when you buy the game, your friend can play with you without having to own the game.
I think they've always done that with all their previous games.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So yeah, props to him. Next one, which I was excited for because I thought it was a different franchise, Steel Hunters. Mm. I love robots. I love robots. So I'm excited for that. Next one is Black. Oh, so this is a small indie game. I don't think there was much shown, but Black Frost is the one. I thought that was really cool, so I just put it on there. Next, Borderlands 4, which 3, I feel like they were just milking the shit out of like Borderlands in general. I hope they go a different route with Borderlands 4. I don't know if they will. And hopefully, I had no issue with it, but it was getting old, a different style for artwork. So
the only Borderlands I played is part 2. It was cool, but I don't know. Like, I just hope that's a looter shooter.
Yeah.
That I hope Elden Ring doesn't feel like that. Oh. I mean, it's not feel like the way they do their loot. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, to me, I don't know if do people really. Yeah, this is a question. Do people really like Borderlands? Like, to me, like, there's no appeal to it, dude.
I mean, the thing that's funny is like, I think people love Borderlands, but it's not like love where they talk about it like crazy. Mm. It's love where they just they play it, they enjoy it, and they stop playing it.
It reminds me of, the way I feel about it, the way I was playing Borderlands 2 is the way I feel about Gears of War. I loved 1, 2, 3, but then it's like the same tried and true formula, and I got sick and tired of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's nothing changed. And what saddens me is Monster Hunter is slowly like,
yeah, getting there.
I'm technically not really excited about the next Monster Hunter because it's the same formula. Nothing really changes.
Yeah. Which you get there eventually. Like with Call of Duty, for me, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, mm-hmm. fantastic
that's,
games.
That's true
but too. They were all exactly the same game.
Yeah.
You know, and it took me until Call of Duty 3 to realize, like, this is the same game. Just, like, they just named it something new.
And what's crazy is, like, people shit on this game all the time, but I think Fortnite does it well.
Yeah.
Like, they're the ones that they're always keeping it fresh.
But the thing with Fortnite, though, is they're not saying, oh, this is Fortnite 2, same game. This is Fortnite 3, same game. No, instead, they just update Fortnite to have all the, like, a new map. You know, new skins, new weapons. Like, you know, we're taking out this weapon. We're adding this event where you can be Spider-Man right now. We're adding this event where you can be Thor right now. We're adding this event where you can be Thanos right now. Like, they're doing it right.
And the same thing goes for Halo. I loved Halo. Same tried and true formula. I don't care about it now.
Yeah. It's Gears of War. Which I think they're making a new one too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care. No, super on. They really need to change something, but I think they don't.
The issue too is like we grow up. Like, you know, if I stayed the same age, I'm sure I would still love all of the Call of Duty games that are coming out. But eventually, I grow up and my taste in things change. You know, whether that game stays the same or not, my taste in games change.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be personal, I think. Next one is Mecha Break, which I think I have a demo for way earlier, and then now they're just like announcing it. But I think I need to check that out. But Mecha Break, another robot one, I love it, and this one looks like fast, very maneuverable robot action. So I love that. Then we have Virtual Fighter, which this is an old game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing it back. I'm excited. I thought it was supposed to be what was it called? That kung fu one. Was it Simu? No. Sifu. Mm. I thought that game, because he like punched through like someone through the wall, and I thought it was gonna be like a continuation of Sifu, but no. This is Virtual Fighter.
It's very technical. I remember Virtua Fighter. It's one of the most technical fighting games.
Which I'm curious, like, will they maintain that? Like, will it feel like a technical game, or will it just be another standard fighter game? Because the next fighting game I'm excited for, like, not, I just mentally I have chosen, like, to, for when this game comes out, I'm gonna like try to be like in the competitive field. It, I might not succeed whatsoever, but it's the Riot game. The fighter one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I chose that mentally to be like, oh, that's the game that when it comes out, I'm going to try to like get good at that game.
I already, people who listen to podcasts, they already know my spiel about fighting. I hate fighting games. Like they release an incomplete game.
With
70% of the characters.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing now.
I don't like it. So
we'll see. We'll see. Next one is Project Century, which looked pretty cool. Excited for that one.
And oh, also like, there's a thing that Keith Lee was on an interview for, and I fucking, like, this is a kind of off tangent, but like anything that I like or like, I'll always tell the fucking truth. Like he was saying like he got like a $1 million deal from McDonald's and he didn't want to do it because he doesn't eat their food. And he's like, I'm a man of integrity. He's like, these are people's hard-earned money. And I feel the same way. Like money and time, I will always speak the fucking truth. Like, I will not fucking bend to, like, oh, yeah, $1 million deal. He's like, yeah, I'll be fine with taking the money, but it fucks with other people's money. And why would I bring this facade that I eat McDonald's when I don't? So, like, with reviews and stuff, things I like and not, I will always fucking tell the truth. So,
I mean, there's a lot of people that won't do that, though. So,
oh, yeah. 98% of content creators.
Yeah.
99. That's why I like MKBHD and Keith Lee. Got a lot of respect for
which them. I feel like, I mean, someone can become big without having that publicly, that ideology, but then once they're big, they can come out with that ideology, which I feel like is something how MKBHD came out. Like he wasn't public about it, and then later on was like, no, if someone gives me,
he's never got a paid fucking sponsorship. Yeah.
People have tried to reach out, and then they're like, no, we're not. I'm just going to buy your shit, and I'm going to test it. But yeah. And then we have Turok Origins, which, I mean, that for me, that's a classic game that I've played, so I'm excited. I probably won't like the new, like, the route it's going, but I still think it's cool that it's coming back.
Oh, speaking of Turok, there's a new dinosaur game. Did I talk about it in the last podcast?
Dino Crisis?
No. 2024? Dino Crisis look like a baby's fucking
what?
Game. It's fucking, me watching it gives me fucking creeps. Like, I don't like watching it. And the King Wolves, the guy that is blowing up, is, but everyone's playing it. This dinosaur game, it's fuck, you're trying to escape, but you're being hunted the whole time, and it's fucking creepy. Just the fact that you're being fucking hunted,
right,
is just creepy, dude.
Damn.
But yeah, it makes, I was just thinking about that because of Turok. People need to take notes, like Dino Crisis and Turok, take notes of this game, dude. It's fucking creepy.
And then the next game we got is Onimusha: Way of the Sword. It looks interesting. I mean, I've always liked ninja or like
samurai. I've never played the older games, which is kind of crazy. And I know it's very beloved.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of I want to play the. Damn, why did I never buy the older games? I don't understand.
Would you buy it now?
Oh yeah, I would fucking for sure buy it now. I heard they're really good. It's weird because, you know, I always bought games when they had good reviews, and I, for some strange reason, I never bought Onimusha.
Yeah. Okay.
It's weird.
And then the next game we got is Kazan, the first Berserker, which it was a kind of like a cinematic gameplay of him fighting a dragon or a dragonesque, I don't know, Wavering maybe, but I still don't know the concept of the game, like how it's going to be. It seems like it might be kind of like a Dark Souls like, but I'm not too sure, but I like the route that it looks like it's going. Do you have anything on that one?
Yeah. doesn't interest me.
Okay. And then we have Dying Light, the Beast. It looks like the game's going a different direction, So, I mean, it looked interesting. I probably still won't play because I haven't even played Dying Light, all the other Dying Light games. So, but it looked interesting. Pretty cool. We have Double Dragon Revive. Again, a franchise that I'm familiar with and I like. So, really cool. They're the reason. That's the reason probably I like dragons, you know, and got a dragon tattoo.
Double Dragon, the game was always interesting to me. Like, the very first game.
Yeah.
Because, like, you reach the last boss. So, if you're playing co-op, if you reach the last boss, and right before the last boss, you have to kill each other. You have to kill your co-op. Like, that, I don't think I've ever seen done in games.
Yeah.
It's always interesting.
And then also the movie was really cool, too. And then we have Screamer. That one would look pretty cool, too. That one was, like, a futuristic thing. We have Mafia, The Old Country. That looked cool. Very Godfather-esque. We have Dispatch with
Aaron Paul, Lauren Bailey.
Yeah.
Lauren Bailey.
So that looked interesting because it looked like anime slash game related. So
a lot of content creators as voice actors.
Yeah.
Critical Thought Squad.
I'm curious. Then we have a new studio, Clover.
It's not a new studio. Clover Studios?
Yeah.
They've been around.
Didn't...
What game is it?
Maybe I misheard. Okami?
Yeah, Clover Studios has been around. Did it
revive then? Yeah. Okay.
I think it died and then they revived. Okay. Clover made God Hand. We need God Hand to come back.
So Revive Studio, Clover, making Okami sequel, which is...
Which technically is the third Okami game.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was a DS game that came out called Okami Den. But that came out of nowhere, and they brought back Hideki Kamiya, who's my twin. People used to say I look like him in my Twitch chat, but I always wanted to do... E3's gone, but I always wanted to do a prank where I walk around acting like Kamiya. But, I mean, he's kind of toxic. I know that, but... He makes great games. He makes great games, but yeah, Okami, that was a surprise for sure.
Okay.
I did not expect.
Next one I have on my list, which you probably don't even care about, Crimson Desert.
My twin.
He looks more, he's chubbier.
Yeah.
You know?
I've lost 30 pounds. That's all shit.
Next one is Crimson Desert. Which I don't know if they're going the same route, because it's that Crimson Desert was or is an MMO. I don't know if this one's going the same route. They didn't show much other than like the game itself. And then the last game that I have on here is from Naughty Dog.
Yes. I predicted.
Neil Druckmann. You predicted it?
Mm-hmm.
That a game was being from the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But Intergalactic. The Heretic Project.
Intergalactic Planetary.
So when that trailer for Intergalactic started, I got Star Wars vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed little details where I was thinking, like, is this, you know, like a hard to see like Star Wars thing? And then it kept returning to Star Wars for me. Like, and then the weapon came out.
What's funny is when I was watching it, I got Cowboy Bebop vibes.
Okay.
Because it kept on showing the wanted thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that always happens in Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah. So. But I thought it was like a bounty hunter type thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then they showed the stereo player, or like the music player, mm-hmm. where they showed the disc.
Showed her shoes.
And then
Adidas.
Yeah.
That glow. I was like, okay, they need to.
So then the whole like having like this branding, like Adidas, they had a Sony, mm-hmm. and I think there was another, Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
So the branding with the music, I was like, okay, this is giving like the original Guardians of the Galaxy vibe, like the very first one, like with the soundtrack, like how crazy they killed it in that first movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh dude, this is gonna be like a crazy, like fun vibe thing. And sure enough, Naughty Dog, Neil Druckmann.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And dude, I'm excited. Like, it's obviously just a teaser, but
what's crazy, been in development for 4 years already.
Yeah.
No leaks. So I was like, wow. That's crazy.
So this is like a not off tangent thing, but I know that I believe Alana Pierce worked for Naughty Dog.
Mm-hmm.
She was a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And she recently quit, but she was like, oh, there's something I couldn't talk about. You know, like, and right now, once she's like kind of hinted, like, you know, once it gets announced, I can talk about it then. Mm-hmm. No holds bar. So we'll see how that, what comes out of that. But this is exciting stuff, man, for me.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this one. But the flip side, the gamers are trashing it.
Well, I know that there's one negative, and that's the fact that, like, comments are turned off on the video.
Yeah, and I think there's more dislikes than likes. So it's, yeah, I hate gamers.
That's crazy, bro. Yeah. I mean, like, I know everyone has an opinion. And on the internet, people aren't afraid to say their opinion. But it's crazy to see, like, if you're a game developer, imagine to be, like, so excited for a thing that you've been working on for 4 years, announcing it, and people are like, shit. Dog shit. Like, what the hell? Like, or not even that. Like, just negative reviews. Like, it's crazy to me. And then people, like, you have people on the fence, and they're like, we're not sure. And then when he announced it on Twitter, they were like, bro, why are you afraid of criticism? And then they showed, like, a screenshot of the comments turned off for that video. It's like, bro, have you seen how many people disliked it? Have you seen, like, how much people are going to talk about shit? And when you, as a human, see a bunch of negative reviews, you're just going to get depressed. Like,
of course.
It changes your mind and your way of thinking. And
of course. I mean, that's why The Last of Us multiplayer got scrapped because of the fucking crazy. He's like, fuck you guys,
yeah, like, dude, seriously, straight up, I'm okay with that. Like, I would have loved it, but, you know, it's whatever for their well-being, like, whatever they need to do. Mm-hmm. So if they,
I just, dude, people who act like that, they better not buy the game. Like, if it gets great reviews, you motherfuckers better not buy the game.
Seriously though, like, seriously, we can't control it, but I'm gonna hate you for buying the game.
It's like, I don't understand. Yeah. This is that gaming culture.
Yeah, blows my mind. Like, but I mean, honestly, I guess I would have been the same. Like, if I would have, like, if he would have came out with a concept I didn't care for, like, if let's say I didn't care for Star Wars, I was like, man, I hate everything futuristic. Like, we live modern times. Like, we should only see modern shit. Like, futuristic sucks. I'm sure, like, that's probably what people think, or something similar. I don't know. But
it's gonna be a great game. Naughty Dog hasn't made a bad game.
Yeah.
Their track record is fucking amazing.
But for a split second, I thought Ubisoft. Mm. I don't know why. Like, I saw it and was like, did they scrap the whole Beyond Good and Evil to make this shit?
You heard what's happening with Ubisoft, right?
They're probably going to go under? I don't know.
Yeah, they're selling off their shit.
Yeah. I assume so because, bro, Beyond Good and Evil, they were like, hey, we're going to do all this stuff. And it's like, hey, if you want to show your artwork, like, you know, go ahead and submit your stuff. And then people were like, you're just asking us to submit our stuff for free. And they went silent and have not mentioned the game ever since then, dude. It's crazy.
What's funny is, like, during the Game Awards show, whenever Jeff Keighley's voice cracks, you know it's going to be something big. And it's funny because when I was like, I was like live tweeting or live discording, like, his voice cracked on Okami.
Yeah, but yeah. Before, when he was saying,
before it came, I was like, Half-Life 3? I was like, that was totally
off. Yeah.
But yeah, his voice cracked for Elden Ring. And then what else? There was another one. His voice cracked. I forgot which one.
And even
I
for
think The Witcher, I think.
Even for Intergalactic.
Yeah, that one too.
A little bit, yeah.
Guys. I still think his best announcement, though, from all the Game Awards was Elden Ring. That shit was cool. He's like, I'm out of internet jail. I was like, oh, shit.
I know it's crazy. Like, having him or being the one to know, like, specific things. Like, he obviously knew about Intergalactic probably, if anything, like, weeks to months before.
All those games that were announced. Every single one. So.
Damn.
That exclusive. Jeff, let me be your friend, man. Yeah, I mean, I was very critical of the Game Awards, but I think Jeff took a lot of criticism and he really made a good show.
Like, but I think it's gonna be yearly. It's gonna be whether a lot of people are going to say it was amazing or a lot of people are going to say it's shit. Oh, like, yeah. Obviously, yeah. There's always, like, two sides to it. There's and depending on the side that you feel like you're on, you're going to see more of that. So you're like, hey, people are agreeing with me. But it's like, no, you're just seeing more of that because you agree. You don't see the side where people love it. I do feel like it was a good one, but I feel like every year it's very similar. You know, like they kind of skim through the awards, and it's more of a let's show new games rather than
it's funny
give the awards.
Because I don't know if you weren't there when the Nintendo, when Nintendo gave me the tickets. They used to take their time with awards. They never used to like fast forward. Okay, yeah. And best content creator this and best meta. They used to every single award was
yeah. There was no quick.
And
one.
People got speeches. Yeah. So like Queso would have said something, and yeah, it's different.
Or they would have let Queso know so you can make a video for it. But yeah. Yeah. But it's just like you realize like you have so much time. Mm-hmm. And what brings more viewers is going to be the new games, not the awards. So now it's just a front. It's like an award ceremony. That's the front. And it's just a game show. And that's the actual one. Yeah. But and then Game of the Year went to
what a surprise.
Astrobot.
What a surprise. And I love it. I was like, you know, I just would have been upset if it Elden was Elden Ring.
Yeah.
I just would have been. And dude, Jeff fucking he got us. He's like, all right, guys, DLC counts. Elden Ring DLC won 0 awards. I'm like, he did the switcheroo on us. That's smart, Jeff. God damn it, Jeff.
The thing is, too, is like because a lot of the nominations are us like showing that we love that. So that's why Elden Ring got a nomination. But it doesn't mean that it's going to win the award.
So I think what, to my knowledge, is how these award are picked, the winners, it's industry people.
Okay.
So it's like kind of like the Oscars. Like, you're voted by your peers. So it was voted by the peers, and Astrobot, man, congrats, man. I was, like, stoked. I was like,
that's cool. You haven't played it, huh?
So here's my take.
Yeah.
I talk about it a couple times on the podcast. I don't like platformers. It's just not my cup of tea, but
right.
That's a platformer. And I heard it like, yes, this is not my cup of tea. I don't have a PS5 too, but, and there's still no reason for me to get a PS5, but I heard it's like Mario Odyssey, but a better version.
Yeah.
So it looks cool, but yeah, not my style of game.
My work had I didn't even mention this, but had the holiday party today. And, the prizes, there is 2 Xboxes, 2 PlayStations, and 2 PlayStation VRs.
Okay.
And one of the PlayStations got raffled off, and management won it. And management's like, I don't need it. You can just give it to someone else. And instead of re-raffling it, they're like, we're doing a dance-off. Whoever dances the best. And one of the guys from design, he came up first and was dancing. And I thought I was going to go to him, and then other people started coming up. And it's like, oh no, now it's a dance off. Like he's gotta dance like crazy. And it got crazy, but he ended up winning it anyways.
Started
and
taking clothes off.
And when he got it, I like walked up to him and was like, hey, do you have a PlayStation 5? And he's like, hell yeah. I'm like, okay, thank God. Cause this is not a standalone thing. Like, you need a PlayStation 5 to play VR. Mm-hmm. But he should be good. But I don't think a lot of people realize there is like some people that try to get the PlayStation VR. It is not the PlayStation. That is an accessory to the PlayStation. So, but yeah,
I thought Metaphor was going to win it.
Yeah.
No, I was rooting for Metaphor. I thought Elden Ring was going to win it, and I was rooting for Metaphor.
I feel like if Metaphor came out earlier, not because obviously it already qualified for Game of the Year. But if it came out earlier, more people would have been able to play it, and I think people would have been able to see how crazy of a game it is. But I think Astrobot.
Did you notice something about the speech though when they won? Like, they acknowledge Nintendo, but they, you know, they're rivals, right?
Yeah.
So they can't say Nintendo. Did you notice that? It's very politically correct. He's like, because he says, I don't know if I should say this, and he looks back and he goes, "There's a company that, you know." have been, you know, we made this platformer, but there's a company that made with the little gray box.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that shit's so calculated. And he was afraid. He was like, should I say this? He looks back. I was like, oh, shit. And I don't know if you noticed, like, when Astrobot won, Microsoft section didn't applause. I'm like, that's cold, man. I know you guys are rivals. Come on, dude. A little clap doesn't hurt. Fucking butt hurt, dude.
They're probably butt hurt because PlayStation made a video where it's like, hey, you want to share this game? Just hand over the game. Cause
I mean, yeah,
like
there's fucking beef. Yeah. I mean, I think I saw a tweet. It's like, spends $80 billion. Didn't win a fucking game.
It
shows the guy, like, not clapping.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's bad because the camera pans to them and they're just like standing there, just staring. I'm like,
during Hideo's speech, it went to a guy who like awkward, and he's just like, looking at the camera. Yeah. And I thought of Kurosh,
dude. the guy that remember last year, the bright light?
Oh yeah, yeah.
He came back, but he had sunglasses. I was like, that's cool. Yeah.
So, any final thoughts for the Game Awards?
Yeah, it was cool. It was a good, you know, always improving. And
I mean, there's always gonna be criticism, but yeah, I hope Jeff Keighley keeps holding it up. He mentioned, you know, obviously this is the 10th year and hopefully on the 20th, even bigger and better. So yeah, I'm rooting for him. I hope it's bigger and better. Hopefully we can go next year. Maybe some plans. Well, you want to do the live event, so maybe I'll just go on my own. But because I want to, we'll like, see. I need to learn how to socialize more. So I need to I go to these events. I have been socializing more, but I need to be more.
I'll talk active. About it off stream, but it's probably you probably don't want to go. Because I kind of don't want to go, but I mean, if you go, I'll go. But yeah.
Anything more on this podcast?
Good job, Jeff, man. Like, you killed
seriously,
it.
Props.
Yeah, it's hard. That kind of shit is hard to. Yeah. Coordinate and just events. And
with it having so many things, like, obviously, you're not going to hit everyone on like, it's not going to be a perfect score on every single one. So props to him to keeping it up. And I hope he keeps it
we
up.
We didn't get to see Bill Clinton. The number one, everyone's on the.
You know what? I didn't pay attention to that. Was security like tight on the edges?
Yeah,
like,
it was.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Oh, in musical performance, there were some big Harrison Ford showed up and Snoop Dogg, some big.
Yeah,
it gets bigger. I mean, when we go, it always got bigger and bigger. Yeah. You know, so I just want to go to the after party. I mean, if I go, I want to go to the after party.
So you're gonna you're gonna live reaction and then go to the after party after. All right, guys, I think that's it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for watching. Catch you on the next one. Peace.